Hello, hustlers. I'm not sure what episode this is because I don't know when I'm going to publish it, but this is an episode on whore goddesses. So I'm here with my sexy historian friend who studies, what is it?
Ancient world
studies. Ancient world studies. Yeah. And we've decided to do an episode on like sacred prostitution and like ancient whores and, you know, where did prostitution come for? Yeah. Come from? I'm just mixing up my words. Okay. You know, just some ancient history all up in your ears today. Some slutty history. That's here what it is. All right. So I'm going to get, oh wait, did you want me to use your real name or do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get, her name is Cosima, by the way, which is like, which is, what? That's sexy.
What?
She's going to tell us about your you're going to tell us about your favorite goddesses. Is yes. What you're going to do.
Yes, right I now. Am. And I'm going to talk a little bit about mother goddesses and how far back they go, which is very sexy. So the idea of the Earth Mother and like a very fertile, incredible goddess like goes back like pretty much as far back as the archaeological record goes.
Yeah.
So in terms of archaeology, there's like there were a bunch of Stone Age Venuses found, these like very thick, plump little stone sculptures of
and
these
that's Venus
women. That is Venus, well yeah. Called Venus. It's a bit different from okay. our conception of like Aphrodite coming out of the ocean sort of vibe,
right,
it's much more about fertility and like femaleness and I read something really interesting about like why women like they're represented as being like very obese.
Okay.
And we look at that, you know, now and we're like, okay, like what's the deal with that? But because when these sculptures were being made in the Paleolithic period, there was a massive ice age.
Right.
So then having a woman that could get fat was like incredible because it's like you're eating really well.
Yeah.
And she's also represented as being like a bit older.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, why is that sexy? But it's incredibly sexy because it means that she could survive childbirth multiple times, which would have been like fucking
amazing,
mind blowing.
Yeah. I have actually heard this that, you know, in ancient, well, just in like older times, way back when, you know, if you were fat and older, people were like, oh my God, that's the sexiest thing ever because you have survived.
And you got money.
And you got money.
Eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. And like huge saggy tits.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like all these sculptures.
That was the sexiest thing.
Yes. Where are the saggy tits? Like,
I don't know.
Incredibly sexy.
Yeah.
And there's also this other point about like these Stone Age, like, you know, stone little statues, which like a recent academic just came up with.
Yeah.
It's like the reason they're so like fat and saggy and whatever is because it might've been the women who were sculpting them from the perspective of looking down at their own saggy tits.
Oh, that's
and
really,
that's,
yeah.
yeah. And
yeah,
that's
okay.
why they look the way that they look. So
yeah.
It's
lovely.
We love
so
that.
Venus is the goddess of love.
Love and sex.
Love and sex.
Yeah.
Right.
So we stand.
All the lovely things.
Yeah.
She's all the sexy. I'm trying not to say sexy anymore, but it's really hard.
Especially in this podcast. Like, how do you not say it?
I'm just going to have to keep saying it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Venus.
Yeah. So, we love her. Maternal, thick woman.
Yeah.
We love.
All right. So, who would worship Venus then?
I think, like, in the Paleolithic period, which, like, goes back, oh, God, what is it, 1.2 million years?
Oh, yeah.
Like, 2.6 million years,
back
actually.
Back in those times?
Yeah, quite, you know.
Yeah.
Not what we'd call recent. but women's fertility was, like, the tits.
The
like,
tits.
The,
right,
the only thing you give a shit about.
Right.
Is, like, if you can have kids and continue, you know, just survival.
Okay. Yeah.
Which would have been, you know, like, so hard if you think about nutrition and fucking mammoths and whatever
just
else
like so much like no medicine really
exactly how you know how many people are dying in childbirth like you know so on and so forth.
Although side note, I am interested in the like ancient medicine that they would use which you know obviously some of it wouldn't really work but some of it I don't know
some
like,
of it surely
it's sort of passed through I feel like especially in my industry a lot of sex workers love like astrology and like naturopathy and like healing our bodies the kind of natural way, which I find really interesting.
I think the witch thing is big as well.
Like, the witch thing, big for sure.
Resurgence, like in sort of like millennials, I guess.
Yeah, with everyone, not just sex workers.
But people are wanting to sort of like connect to the earth more and the history and the moon.
Yeah,
and, you know, that can be related back to mother goddesses and
mother
sex
goddesses.
And sex work,
mother goddesses everything. Are coming back, I think. Well, they've always
and
been
saggy boobs. They never went anywhere.
They never went anywhere. It's just like men.
Fuck some shit up.
Anyway. so we've got these beautiful fertility goddesses.
Fit queens.
Fit queens. And from that, there's also been this sort of myth, or not myth, but like stories about sacred prostitution, which some people will say is a myth, and that there's no such thing as like a sacred prostitute. But that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I think
we've got some stories.
Yeah. We can just have a smidge of a disclaimer now in terms of like,
Bit of a disclaimer. Bit of a, you know, asterisk. Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult to prove, you know, whether or not something happened, let alone, you know, how it happened and how we can understand that from our modern context, because there's so little, like written record, historical record, you know, there's so little evidence for us to like base our interpretation from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can be interpreted many
We're just going to say ancient whores existed.
We're going to say they were a thing and they were stunning.
And I'm just going to, like, I think there were two main categories, is the ones, the, like, religious prostitutes.
And the secular ones.
And the secular ones. So the ones like myself, who were really just doing it for money,
for the cash,
et cetera, for cash. Yeah. And then there's, you know, the whole thing that was tied to religion and worshipping
and
in the temple.
There's a lot more evidence for the religious ones.
Yeah.
Because
historians always want to talk about the religious side of things rather than, you know, women doing things for themselves. But, you know, that's not to say that
It didn't exist.
It didn't exist.
Definitely would
have. All right. So what have we got first up?
Ooh, let's talk about ancient Mesopotamia.
Bit, say that again.
Ancient Mesopotamia. It's a shit show to pronounce. I'm so sorry. So that's the Near East, what we think of now as the Middle East.
The Middle East, cool. Yeah.
So that's like birth of civilization, like older than ancient Egypt, oldest, gorgeous. So sacred prostitution for them was deeply spiritual.
Yeah.
And it was, in some cases, used to induce divine epiphanies, which is incredible. And so on the sort of lower level were when sort of temple priestesses would have intercourse with male visitors to the temples of Ishtar and Inanna. That's the goddess of sex.
So Ishtar
and Inanna.
And Inanna.
It's similar to how Venus and Aphrodite mean pretty much the same thing, except one's like the Greek name and one's the Roman name.
Okay.
So let's just talk about Ishtar.
So they would go into these temples, essentially have sex as a way of worshipping these female goddesses.
Yes. And ensuring fertility.
For keeping the world,
fertile,
and like well, and like for good life, or whatever.
All of that,
all of the things,
all of the above,
all the good things.
Like, you know,
so sex was a great thing.
Sex was the great thing, like fertile, religious.
Sex was a way of praying.
Absolutely, the way of
it was
praying.
The way of praying.
It was like, you know, hugely ritualistic and really, really important, and to the extent that yearly the high priestess of Inanna / Ishtar would have sex with the king every year ensure the fertility of the crops for the next year. Because it was so important, you know, like they were so at the mercy of their crops. It was like, we really got to keep this shit together and we really need to eat next year, so please fuck our king, thank you. Like, That's how they were doing it.
Yeah, okay. So, like, what were the types of women that would have sex in the temple?
They were priestesses.
Priestesses, yeah. Okay.
Yes, yeah. They were religious women.
The religious women.
Who were sex workers.
Who were sex workers,
So, Venn diagram, religious women, sex workers, they're in the middle. They're in the little chunk in the middle.
Yeah. So, I guess the religious, I mean, the reason that I guess we would call them sex workers is that they're...
They got money. Yeah.
And that they're using sex as a way of making the land fertile. I mean, it's all a
100%. And, you know, they, like, that's ensuring their accommodation and, like, you know, their livelihood as well if it's the sex work. And, you know, the money is, you know, ensuring that they survive whilst also, you know, contributing to the temple and the religious practice.
And then the fact that these sex worker priestesses were basically, you know,
saving the land
according to everyone in that time period. Like, that's amazing.
Very important.
Where's the respect for sex workers these days?
Exactly. Like, 4,000 years ago they had their shit together.
There needs to be temples just for praising sex workers,
honestly. You know? Yes, like, please. So good.
All right, so we've got ancient Near East.
Yeah.
So that's Middle East.
Yeah.
Ishtar, Inanna.
Yeah. All right. That's like the main, like, those really are the cool main example.
Great.
Of like ritualistic sex work.
And now I also heard that there were like three tiers. So,
what's the third?
Like when there were like the secular
prostitutes. Yeah.
So they would also have like sex workers
that were living in the temples
that were non-religious and that would just like pick up men on off the street to make money
just for the dollars.
And I think they were allowed to live in the temple. And I don't know about like how they were treated.
Yeah.
But I feel like because they were living in the temple, it can't have been too bad. I feel like that if there was shame, it would have been kept to a minimum.
Yeah.
And
maybe just like a smidge less respect.
Yeah, because it was religious, not religious. Like, yeah. I'm sure that there was that whole thing. I'm sure that there were vibes.
For sure.
All right. What have we got next? Aphrodite.
Yeah.
Pandemon.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like, so the goddess Aphrodite is like, you know, one of the most famous. She's so like, got so much shit going on. She's got like a warlike aspect. She's fucking fertile. She's whatever. She's goddess of so much. She's got so much going on. But Aphrodite, like Pandemos, so spelled Pandemos. For everyone listening, if you want to have a Google. So that was her specific like aspect, which was her being the goddess of unions, which is a bit fun. So it was about like sexual unions and marriage. And then also, like, she became quite politically significant because it's like, I'm going to unite everyone sexually, but I'm also going to unite everyone politically.
Right.
So that's, like, you know, the power of sex and the power of the goddess of sex to bring everyone together socially and politically, which is a bit...
Yeah, so it's kind of like combining sex and power and politics in a way that's not...
100%.
I don't know. Bad.
Yeah, it's like sex is good. You know,
sex is good. Let's embrace it. Like, it is a part of power, and in many ways, it is a part of politics.
And a huge way of connecting people.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely. So we love her. And then also the Aphrodisia was Aphrodite's festival where
a festival. I know.
A festival. Exactly. Like, bring that the fuck back. That would be great.
Bring that back,
please. And so sort of sexual services became available to people of all classes, where sometimes it might have been a bit more like restricted to certain people who could afford it
or were in
particular classes. Yeah. But during her festival, it's like everyone can, you know, get laid if they have cash. Like,
and
let's do it.
Where was her festival? Like, what time period? What area?
Sort of all over Greece. And, you know, bigger in certain cities and smaller in certain cities. And it took place at the start of the Attic year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, whatever the fuck
Whatever that means.
So that's like her fun little
So that was just like a festival of sex.
Yes.
Great.
Hell yeah. Amazing. Worshipping sex. Yeah. Worshipping love. Worshipping the goddess. Just like incredible.
Yeah. And she's obviously been so powerful that there's now the word aphrodisiac.
Bam. Look at that. Look at
that's just me. That's just me adding in a fact.
Yeah. Like, get it in there.
Because like, I haven't studied ancient world studies. So.
You're just freestyling it. It's incredible.
Okay. Now we've got a little story. Are we going to tell a story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this one's a bit, it's a bit probo. We weren't
definitely cool.
I read, you know, I did my research, guys. I went on history of prostitution on Wikipedia. And I read that there was this prostitute in the Bible, and Cozzy went and researched further and we found out that actually it's kind of, you know, the way that it's told is a bit shit, but we're going to tell it
Not shit. Yes.
And just recognize the shit bits.
Yes, exactly. We can acknowledge them. the biblical interpretation is not stunning.
It's not my favorite. No, I can imagine. Thing that I read. So this is
the Book of Joshua.
The Book of Joshua.
Yeah. And she's called the Whore of the Bible, or the Sacred Whore, or the Reformed Whore, or like a bunch of names. Her name is Rahab. So R-A-H-A-B.
Yep.
And so she was a prostitute from Jericho, the old Canaanite city.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Israelites were coming to Jericho, like, this, like, very huge, important, fortified city.
Yeah.
And they sent two spies in because they were, like, you know, they were under God's orders to, like, tear the whole fucking thing down and kill everyone and whatever. Okay. So they sent two spies in, and she took them in. And then the king found out that the spies were there, whatever. So the king sent men everywhere and sent them to her house because, you know, he heard for whatever reason that that's where they were, and she hid them like on her roof, like under a sort of roof mount or whatever.
Okay.
And what's really cool though is it shows like she was clearly very bright because she had, you know, like the right excuses for the guards and like had the, you know, sort of sharpness of mind to know where to hide them and whatever.
And she was clearly so prominent that the two spies went to hide with her in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So she successfully hid them and then gave them the advice of like, don't try and leave for, you know, 3 days and then leave, whatever. And they were like, and she was like, please spare me and my family when you like burn the city to the fucking ground.
Mm.
And they were like, true, cool, you like hit us, sure, love that.
Mm-hmm.
So then she was instructed to hang out like a scarlet rope from her window, so then the Israelites coming in would know to like spare that house. And then the Israelites came in and did, you know, did their thing and destroyed everything in just the most like
horrific way.
So the most horrific way.
That's what we were saying, we were talking about this before, is the violence in the Bible.
Obscene.
Like, it's obscene. Not just a nice,
it's not just forgive your fucking neighbor 7x7x7 times and a bunch of like bread and fish. No, no. There it's is not just so like much murder. God damn, there is so much murder.
So much murder and violence and like.
And they make it really fucking explicit that they killed every man, woman, and child in that city. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
So that happened, and then her house was spared and her family was spared, and then they, you know, she and her family were incorporated into the Israelites.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you hear, oh my God, there was a prostitute in the Bible, like, stunning, incredible, let's talk about her. But the running sort of dominating interpretation is that she is a metaphor for, like, you know, the lowest sort of thing that can be, you know, reclaimed by God's love. And like, look at this example of this woman, like, who's been lifted up. Oh, she sinned,
but she's going to reform.
Exactly. And but look how amazing she is now, that she like,
she was amazing in the first place, like saving her family.
And being smart enough to have her shit together to like handle that situation the way she did.
Yeah.
She handled that. Like,
she handled, I'm just going to, just repeated that, but that's fine. But yeah, she must have been quite well known.
Well known and intelligent and wealthy enough to have her own house and blah blah blah. Yeah. All of that.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we can still love her.
We can still love her.
The interpretation could be rude.
I mean, because what happened in the end, she married a
his name was Salmon.
His name was Salmon. Yeah,
so just
she married Salmon.
She married a fish. Not a literal fish. No, but she married an Israelite dude called Salmon.
Called Salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can unpack that at a later time.
Yeah. Jesus. All right. Yeah. But like, I just find that so, I don't know, generally, I mean, obviously there are, disappointing, but there are like stories of prostitutes in the Bible. Like, you know, they're kind of shit the way they talk about it. But I like that they're included.
Yeah. And several, anyway, you know, not just darling Rahab.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Cute.
All right. What's next?
Do you want to talk about the Whore of Babylon?
Well,
it's not a literal whore, so no, it's like,
I don't know as much about this one.
Yeah. Well, this one's just like I mean, if people want to sort of understand the phrase, I think this is more a vibe for that.
Tell me about it, because I do know the Whore of Babylon phrase.
I assumed it was a literal person.
Yeah, but well, so did I.
It is not.
It isn't.
We've learned that recently.
As with like a lot of sacred prostitutes and like ancient whores, a lot of them are kind of the stories are kind of metaphors for something, 100%. Which is,
yeah.
I mean,
good old mythological history. Yeah, we're just dealing with that. So the Whore of Babylon is sort of understood as the spirit of seductive culture.
Spirit of seductive culture.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, talk about sexy.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to how much of a dick the Bible is, because the Bible is, of course, like, fuck the Whore of Babylon. Like, oh. No. Yeah, very anti. Yeah. Like, okay. It's a metaphor for, like, you know, being seduced by a, like, yeah, indulgent society, yeah, that's like everyone's fucking and everyone's eating and everyone's, yeah, like covered in oil and it's incredible and like very sexy.
Yeah.
But of course the Bible is like, no.
I find this interesting that we have, you know, at the start we were talking about Ishtar,
mm,
and like just sex being a way of praying and like this sort of great,
beautiful, godly, positive,
beautiful thing. And then you've got like the Bible,
yeah,
which is like shame, sex, like what happened to sort of make that transition in ancient cultures where it was like embrace sex,
yeah,
and then actually no, sex is shit, women, you know,
women are evil.
So
excellent question. And I think, like, you know, people debate that in their PhDs, yeah, oh, forever, yeah. It's like,
I mean, ridiculous. I was kind of hoping for an answer. But that's
okay. I'm gonna try and fucking give you one. So yeah, I think like a lot of people agree and acknowledge that like patriarchal society might be a bit more recent than, yeah, a lot of people really understand it to be, that women played, you know, a far greater role and had a lot, yeah, more agency in the ancient world than, you know, they did for that, you know, until, yeah, very recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those, like, evolution questions, yeah, where society began evolving and became more patriarchal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the more powerful men became, the, you know, there was, yeah, less room for powerful women, yeah, because, you know, so much of the mythology is explaining, don't give women power, don't, yeah, empower women, because look what happens, you know, fucking Eve in the Bible, like whatever, like, yeah, women are evil, women are causing all these issues, like women who are smart, women who like sex, yeah, whatever it is, it's this huge source of evil and distrust,
yeah,
but that's because women in power, you know, yeah, were the biggest threat,
yeah,
to the patriarchal society. So then, yeah, you know, so much of the literature just became about, you know, depicting lessons where it's, mm, like, make sure you don't give women power or else, you know, they'll, yeah, turn you into fucking pigs or whatever it is. Ugh. Whatever the myth is.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, yeah, very, very depressing how it, yeah, seems to have, so evolved, sad, from being like, yes, women, make them, yeah, fat and fertile and we love them, they're so important.
Yeah.
Like, no, they're evil, don't trust them, don't let them talk. Yeah. They should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
Gross.
We don't love it.
No, we don't like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that might... I mean, is that maybe something to do with, like, I guess because it was, like, pre all these scientific discoveries, you've got just all of these different stories being told and all of these different religions and cultures in that time. And it's like, you know, how do you know? You didn't really have any way of knowing, like, what's more true than another story. So absolutely, then people are just going to be inclined to believe, like, oh, okay, this is the Bible.
I mean, absolutely.
If any historian is just listening to me being like, yeah, that's not... The Bible didn't just one day come down from the sky.
No, don't even get me started about the Bible. I can rant about that thing for like half an hour.
But, like, yeah, in my mind, the Bible is, like, kind of where the patriarchy... Well, yeah, at least one of the ways it's
maybe the most significant manifestation, yeah, of patriarchal power.
Yeah.
But I wish I could say it started then, but it didn't.
No. Yeah.
Unfortunately, ancient Greece, you know, yeah, was a big, yeah, patriarchal, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, I think in ancient Greece, as well as there being like women, female sex workers and, mm-hmm, stuff, there were also, it was very popular for little boys to be, it was, yeah, a very pedo, like there was lots of pedophilia.
Yeah, they were doing some edgy shit.
Yeah.
They didn't have a word for homosexuality because, right, it wasn't even a thing. It was so, like,
it was
so much a part of society.
Normal for like an old man to buy sexual services from a young boy.
Yeah, like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
13 or 14, yeah, year old boy.
I think even Socrates.
100%.
100%. Like, all of those guys.
Everyone was so gay. We, yeah, love. We love.
Yeah. Like the gay thing, pedophilia.
Don't love the pedophilia. Mm. Pedophilia could definitely could pass
that
on that.
That can go.
Yeah. We can live without that.
So the Whore of Babylon comes from the Bible?
Yes, it comes from the Bible. It's from...
And it's a metaphor about...
Just sort of like the seduction of other civilization. Okay, that, you know, love their women more, have more sex, you know, just sort of like encouraging the mistrust of something that's different and the mistrust of something that's foreign to the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, look how evil it is. It's going to seduce you. It's going to make you, you know, naughty, essentially. So that's like what that metaphor means. Like, so, you know, stay loyal to God.
I love how, like, most, like, the Bible is always like, you shouldn't want this thing that you definitely do want.
That you clearly want. You clearly so are
going
to,
like, I'm going to describe this sex and, like, oil and, like,
this really
erotic situations and then say, it's not allowed.
It's so not allowed. Don't you fucking
disgusting.
Dare. The audacity of you to have primal urges is disgusting. Yeah. So that's what the Whore of Babylon is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a metaphor.
And then, okay, we're now going to talk about an Aztec goddess. We can't pronounce the name.
We can
I feel like, I mean, we can try.
We're going to butcher it, though.
We're going to butcher it. Yeah.
I mean, we can spell it.
And, okay.
Okay, so it's spelled T-L-A-Z-O-L-T-E-O-T-L. And it's kind of pronounced like Twazatatl.
Okay.
Yeah. But people can Google it if they want to listen to a voice recording of someone.
I mean, we're not, I don't know. I feel like people do still worship Aztec goddesses. So I don't want to, what is it? I remember I went on like this comments section and there was an article about this goddess.
Mm.
And then there was this whole argument about cultural appropriation and stuff. And I was like, anyway, we're not trying to do that. We're just talking about it.
And admiring. I love her.
Yeah, she's really cool.
She's very cool.
She's the goddess of all the filthy things.
Like, that's the most incredible title I've ever heard of a goddess ever.
Yeah.
So she, like, has sort of dirt around her mouth or like a black ring around her mouth. That's like if you're looking at sculptures or like art or whatever and you're like, who is that?
Yeah.
If the like person or woman has like black around her mouth, it's probably our gal.
Yeah.
And so she was an incredible goddess of like fertility and sex and sort of like naughty things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the, you know, when earth is like really, really fertile, it's really dark and like rich.
Yeah.
So she would like ingest waste and like disgusting things and then create incredible fertile matter. So she's all about the process of like life and death and women and sex and rejuvenation and rebirth and like, just everything good.
Really cool.
And what's so fun about her is like, so she's the goddess of illicit love and overindulgence.
Yeah.
And she's quite like a complex cat because she would sort of like provoke everyone to be really naughty. That's like her thing. Yeah. She was so like, yeah, just do it. Just do it. But then she was also the one who would purify it for you. So like she knew it was bad. She knew it was naughty and she was like, do it. But then also was like, I can make it not naughty. It's fine. Just like pray to me. It's cool. Like, I got you, babe. I got you. Like, but so like in Aztec cultures, infidelity was punishable by death.
Right.
But you had the ultimate get out of jail free card with this goddess. Right. So if you prayed to her, you know, gave her the right offerings and, you know, the priestesses of her were like, yep, do it on this day. You know, there were a bunch of ritual stuff that you had to do. But if you, you know, cheated on your spouse and then prayed to her in the correct way, you were like, you were sorted.
That's fine.
You were sorted, but you could only do it once in your lifetime.
Oh, okay. So it's like then, one.
Let's be careful. Like,
you've got one get out of jail for
example. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, she's a complex, like, incredible, you know, carefree temptress.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm in love with her.
Yeah. Amazing.
So much fun.
Yeah, but that's really interesting, I guess, that she's, like, the goddess of all the filthy things and, like, she would tempt you to do naughty things. And I'm assuming that sex, or, like, at least sex outside of marriage or just, like... Yeah, definitely naughty. So it wasn't, like, the same as in the ancient Near East culture where sex was, like...
Religious.
Almost, like, a spiritual, godly thing. Yeah.
I think, like, especially, like... there's marital sex over here.
Yeah.
And then there's like illicit sex over here if you're like unmarried or if someone's cheating on someone or, you know, maybe if someone's like a sex worker, whatever, like that's, you know, regarded as naughty, but it's, you know, she seems to be such a carnal, you know, sexy, earthy goddess, which really sort of like depicts the connection that, like, as we've been talking about, between fertility and sex, and therefore fertility and sex work. Like, it's all so interconnected, especially in these, like, ancient civilizations, because they were, you know, they didn't have fucking Coles and Woolworths.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
if the plants didn't grow, like, you're fucked.
That was it.
Yeah. So all of this sort of sex and earth and, you know.
Yeah.
It's so closely connected. Sex and earth. Oh. Like, just makes me want to, like, have sex in the dirt or something. Like, I don't even know. We need, like, a temple somewhere. Yeah.
Actually, no, that reminds me. I watched this movie recently. It's called Beast.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyway, it's a really... There's this scene where she, is, like, lying in the dirt and it's, like, really moist and then she just sort of stuffs all this dirt into her mouth. And it's kind of like a transformative moment for her. Anyway...
We should get some stories. You should watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I definitely want to post that on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie, I thought. Incredible. I mean, just another kind of, you know, one of those movies about troubled heterosexual love, but that's fine.
Yeah. Something new and different.
Something new and different.
Something groundbreaking.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, sexy history. We can't really talk so much about, like, the secular sex workers.
There's much less of a record, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, not so much. But there are definitely, like, what we talked about, like, goddesses who people would worship them. Like, poor goddesses. Like, they were all about sex and, like...
And sex work.
And sex work, yeah.
And it being a godly profession.
Yeah.
Like, an incredibly important...
Like, you could live in a temple because that's what you were doing.
Absolutely. And you were regarded, like, incredibly
important. Highly, and you were smart. And, like, you were an intelligent, like,
Rahab. And you were educated.
And you were
more of, like, a woman unto yourself rather than, you know, being the property of a man. Yeah. Like,
you weren't like, wife. Let's have a look at... You weren't, like, you know, one of those prostitutes in, like, Game of Thrones.
Oh, my God.
The way they fucking depict those brothels.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, watching that at the moment. Oh. It's so much.
It's just a lot.
It's so much. Just all of it.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of, like, TV shows that... Even, like, fantasy ones or ones about, like, older Middle Ages sort of era times. You know, they'll depict brothels in the most disgusting... And, like, the women who work in brothels in the most... kind of way. Like, we're all just standing around with our tits out and, like... Anyway.
It's interesting. Interesting portrayal in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Mm. What else?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did have one interesting tidbit to include.
Hit me with it.
Which I've just gotten from Wikipedia, so I could be, like, so wrong.
Love it already.
But, like, I'm gonna say it. Oh, hey, but I just said that. so, I read that in Pompeii.
Pompeii. Let's just say Pompeii.
Pompeii.
Like, people know what we're talking about if we say Pompeii.
Pompeii in Italy.
Yeah. So Pompeii is, like, the big archaeological site in Italy where there was that big, massive volcanic explosion which preserved everything.
Yeah. There's even a movie with Jon Snow.
Incredible.
I haven't actually seen it. I just remember seeing the cover. And anyway, they unearthed, like, depictions of sex workers, like, regular, like, you and me sex workers,
like brothels.
And there was this one sign that I can't even say the name. I think it started with E. It's like, this person, like, she has had sex with 2,000 men and this is how much it costs to have sex with her. And, like, it was like you know what it was like? It was like Punter's Planet, which is a forum for, like, reviewing sex.
Yeah.
And it was like, she's great. And, like, you will have a good time with this woman. This is how much it costs. And I was like, this is insane. And, like, nothing has changed.
No,
like,
100%. Just think about graffiti, like, on the brothel walls of just, like, you know, whoever is, like, really good at head or, like, whatever.
Like, that was all over Pompeii.
Yeah, and there's incredible, if people want to have a Google of this as well, like, it is stunning.
Yeah.
The visual representations of sex.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, yeah. the mosaics and the people's faces and the yeah. shit they were doing. You're just oh, like, god damn, like the flexibility.
Oh.
And think about it, no one's like showering back then. Like,
oh no, absolutely gross.
It would have been maybe the like smelliest. Just oh. like ancient cities in general.
Imagine the STDs.
That I think about that all the time.
I think like, okay, maybe not so ancient, but like I think about like Henry the Eighth or Sixth, was it? I don't know. The one who beheaded all of his wives. Eighth. He just had sex with so many women and he was just ridden with STDs. Oh. But, you know, he would still get sex because he was the king. So,
God, could you imagine, like, knowing that you're about to catch a bunch of shit and yeah. just being like, he'll chop my head off if I don't?
Yeah.
Like, here we go. God damn.
Like, for fuck's sake.
You might still chop my head off even if I do. Like, you're just yeah. fucked.
Which is why I really like, because in Japan, you know, you've got the geishas who are yeah. essentially courtesans or prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in Japanese culture, it was very important for them to bathe every day. So it was a right. lot cleaner.
It's a clean yeah, culture.
It was very clean.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely would not have been happening in ancient Rome. That would have been no. some nasty shit. That would have been just some
absolutely
like,
foul.
Some really gross yeah. shit. There was one story that I just remembered. And I don't remember too much of the specifics, but it's like a pretty interesting story. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but her name's like Phryne.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Phryne. Yeah. So like Phryne, let's yeah. just say
yeah.
Phryne.
Well,
whatever.
We'll just yeah. It's an interpretation.
Yes, we yeah.
Yeah.
We're just dealing with that. Yeah. And she was a courtesan.
Yeah.
And she was on trial, right? Yeah. And the whole thing in, like, ancient Rome was, like, if you are beautiful, then you are good.
Yeah.
It was, like, a okay. huge conflation between, like, physical attractiveness and, like, you know, the symmetry of and your like face goodness. Or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly. And, like, moral, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
Trustworthy, good person, whatever. Like, let's not unpack that because it makes me very stressed. but she was on trial and there are so many, like, incredible artistic representations of this.
Yeah.
And she just took her kip off and essentially said, with tits this good, I can't possibly be guilty.
But,
that's literally what she said. She's I am the paragon of, like, beauty yeah. and symmetry. Therefore, I could not yeah. have possibly done what you're accusing me of.
I mean, beating men at their own rules, right? They're like,
essentially,
if you're beautiful, you're good.
Exactly.
And then the women
look
are just like,
look how fucking beautiful all right, I am.
Look like, at my tits.
Look at them. They're perky. Like, I'm here
amazing.
For it.
Amazing. Yeah.
So that's, like, a fun little example.
No, I love how there are heaps of, like, mother goddesses or just like depictions of female things that like yeah. I don't know just things people would worship that are like womanly yeah. and like very like there's a
femininity
PJ oh. Harvey song called She Lana Gig and which I told you about the other day
yes.
And She Lana Gig is an Irish thing. It's sort of like put outside of churches and I think it's traditionally or at least one of its uses was to sort of show how dirty sex is or how dirty women are, but like
damn.
The way that I view it and the way that PJ Harvey views it is like, yeah, we're all Sheilana geeks, like,
yeah.
let's open our vaginas wide because we love it.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
give me that sex positive interpretation.
Yeah, exactly.
Please get me there. Oh, honestly.
Well, I don't. Do we have anything else to chat about? Did you want to include anything?
I'm having a little think.
Yeah.
No, I think we've covered, like, the ancient Near East and, like,
yeah.
ancient Rome and ancient Greece and, like, incredible Paleolithic representations yeah. of women, which are, like, mm-hmm. so... which make me so happy. They give me so much joy.
Yeah.
And they're very cool. And some of them made from, like, mammoth tusks, which is just, like, a little sexy... little sexy side yeah. note if people give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I think it's, like, an immensely complicated
oh, yeah.
part of history that is incredibly challenging yeah. to separate from people's political views
yeah.
and like you know how the different waves of feminism and people's interpretations of sex and women
yeah.
and sex work like it really yeah. bleeds into like historians' perspectives so
yeah.
I think we're getting some new fresh
yeah
current interpretations
and
of
I love just the argument that you know the patriarchy hasn't always existed hasn't always been this way where men are in power like
yeah.
there's some clear well not clear but let's just say that there's some evidence that there was a massive matriarchy or at least
well I
worshipping
think-
of women.
Exactly. I think we might not be able to, you know, claim that, yes, it was a matriarchy,
yeah.
fuck you, until
yeah.
here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what is just irrefutable is women were hugely important.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
that's just, you can't
They
even...
weren't just, like, things to hold babies.
Exactly. You know? And be like, silent we and weave and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we are what, like, the society lived and died on. 100% yeah. Yeah, is our fertility and like, our bodies. Like, we were
living gods.
Like, life-giving. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like that's... I hope this is interesting for you guys, for your hustlers. You so it's a bit different.
Yeah, a bit different.
But yeah, we've just touched on some ancient history, which I thought would be really interesting to include. A bit
random.
Random, bit weird, but you know. It's thank always you good so to learn. Much. All right, no, yeah. Really glad that you decided to come on and have a chat.
Gotcha.
All right, guys, I'm gonna end it here. So see you later. I'm terrible. Hey hustlers. Okay, that's going to be in the that's sorry, fine though.
I'm not having a panic attack. Opening with a panic attack.
Hey hustlers. It's Kate here with Eden and Trinity.
Yes.
And we all work at the same place.
We do.
And we're going to have a chat about how my two new friends got into the industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to start or shall
I? Oh my god, no.
Okay. Eden
is starting. I had a very slightly problematic entry to the sex work industry. I started as a minor.
Yeah.
Which is a big no-no. I do not recommend it. I was 16 when I started selling online content, which is actually child pornography if I look back on it now.
Yeah.
Which is really red hot and a no-no. But it was survival work.
Yeah.
I made the funds to move country and that's what I did. And then I stopped and that was my like first entry to the sex work.
Yeah.
Then when I turned 18... I decided to become a cam girl because I was living in an Islamic state, didn't have the kind of ability to go get a job in Indonesia, but I needed money. So camming was kind of on the balls for me, like on the cards for me. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Became a cam girl, did about a 9-month stint in that, which ended up like really surprisingly well. Yeah. I ended up being flown to Australia by the website that I was camming for.
Oh, amazing.
I ended up representing for Sexpo. So yeah.
Told me this.
Yeah.
So you were pretty good at camming.
Yeah, I had a really good time camming, and then from there I got into stripping, sugar babying.
So you've
and then
basically done sex. Everything.
I've done a lot. Yeah.
You've done a lot.
Done a lot in my like. I'm coming up on 4 years in the industry now.
Mm.
I've tried my toes in pretty much everything, but I love brothel work. That's where I found my feet. That's how I got into the industry, and I love it. I'm glad that I'm here. But now that I'm doing it in a safe environment, I'm no longer doing it like underage.
Yeah, you can recognize how unsafe
Yes, definitely. I do not recommend getting into it like that.
Yeah.
Wait until you're 18. Wait until you can do the research.
Yeah.
Like, I did a few months of research before I got into camming, and I definitely think that's why I was so successful at it.
And do it where it's legal, if possible.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Trin, your turn.
I just want to say something before you start.
Yeah, go for it.
Trinity has recently changed her name and she hasn't seen The Matrix.
Yeah.
So,
but she has seen RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, all right.
She's seen Trinity
the Tark. Who's the more Trinity?
Yeah.
So that's just to start. If you ask our gay brothel owner, the Tuck is more important to know.
Yeah, okay.
If you ask any of the workers, they will say The Matrix.
Yeah.
Look, I probably watched when I was a kid, but I just put that shit.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that is sometimes...
The trauma kind of, like, broke the rules.
Right. All right.
Let's get back into, like...
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, get back into how you got into it.
How long have you been in the industry?
Since, like, 9 months?
9 months.
June. So basically mine's a bit different, like it's obviously not...
So we've got like a teenage hooker and a baby hooker.
Yeah, I'm a baby hooker.
Amazing.
I agree, like I'm a fucking baby hooker. Mine's just like totally like circumstantially different because I worked like civvy jobs, like I basically moved to Melbourne because...
When you say civvy jobs, what do you mean?
Like
for some
normal jobs.
Civilian jobs. So like office work.
So like I moved to Melbourne 5 years ago when I was like 18 because my home life is fucking shit. So I moved out of home to like another state and I just kind of like got any like job I could. So like sat in hospo and then I mostly went to like admin jobs and it was fucking whack. Like I'm too much of a high energy person to like do that thing.
Yeah.
And basically, I just worked full-time in an office, like, just being shat on by the man, like, every fucking day. I hated it. I was depressed. I had no, like, social life. I had, like, nothing going for me. Like, I had nothing. I didn't even feel, like, human. That's what, just that's like what going office to work, jobs.
Going to sleep.
Yeah, and my last one was a PA role. And I'd just gotten out of, like, a 2.5 year, like, abusive as fuck relationship where I literally worked full-time to, like, support this fucking cunt. And, like, I was just so depressed and PTSD. I was literally sitting at my desk as a PA, like, popping Xanax, bro. Like, it was that bad. And then I had a breakdown, which usually happens. And then I went overseas for, like, a couple weeks because my parents sent me on, like, a mental health retreat.
That's sweet.
Because, yeah. like, I just was, like, off the rails, like, and I needed... I, like, literally was, like, help me. Like, I'm gonna...
Yeah.
I'm gonna lose it. They had no choice, you know? So I did that, and I was like, fuck, like, I really want to study. I just need to study animals because I went to, like, this cat pagoda thing and, like, volunteered with, like, the cats, and, like, I saved this kitten on the street in Cambodia, and I was like, yeah, like, I fucking love cats, man. I love animals. Like, I just want to do, like, humanitarian things.
Yeah.
And then I came back. I was like, fuck this. And I quit my, like, job as a PA, and I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do now?
Need
whole
money.
Family, like, you're an idiot. So then I basically started, like...
Oh, so you became the disappointment before you...
Yeah, I mean, I always was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can only go the whole mile, right? And so they... So then I started stripping at Dreams, which is... If anyone...
We've both worked at Dreams.
Bro, Dreams is corrupt as fuck. Like, I'm so sorry to anyone who might work there, but, like, it's so bad and I'm so sorry. But that's where I started.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do some sugar daddy stuff. And then,
seeking arrangements.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like a lot, yeah.
I started seeking,
like,
arrangements before working in a brothel.
I learnt the hard way. And then I worked for an agency, learnt the hard way.
Yes, I've worked for an agency too. So
yeah.
And then I did a bit of private stuff and I was like, I don't have my boundaries in place.
Yeah.
And I have not had enough experience in full service to be able to go to people's houses.
And do it alone.
And do it alone.
Yeah. I seriously think starting in a brothel is the best way to get into full service.
So then, and I, like, a couple months later, it took me in and I was like, fuck this, I'm going to a brothel.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
I wish I had started in a brothel. And I do want to say, like, I've been in sex work for 4 years, but I've also done civvy work as well. Like, it's not like I've only done sex work. I just find that sex work is... the most, like, viable for my lifestyle and, like, my... Yeah.
Like, getting out of bed at 6 a.m.
super flexible.
Yeah.
Like, that's just amazing for
and
anyone
my, like,
with
mental health. Never, like, could roll with that whole world.
Yeah.
And I was always the outcast of the office. Like, always, like, that kind of... Everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, something's wrong.
There's, like, so much... I don't know. As soon as you move into sex work, I think it's, like... you realize that there's such a community for, like, openness.
And you meet your people.
Yeah, you do.
Like, your tribe entirely.
Yeah. I think that, like, before I entered sex work, I had a really hard time meshing with women as well. Like, I had a really hard time with relationships with females. And I found that coming in... Because, like, a lot of women do have internalized misogyny, but, like, when you come into, like, a sex worker environment, everyone's so open, everyone's so understanding, no one's judgmental, so, like... Yeah, moving from, like, a civvy job into that can really help you find your feet and, find out who you really are as a person.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt more dehumanized and degraded working in an office job.
Yeah.
Like, literally being a PA for these men that couldn't even fucking, like, do their own, like they'd scribble on paper and get me to type it up for them.
Yeah.
Like, I felt way more dehumanized and more, like... just cheat.
Yeah.
And I feel empowered doing this.
Yeah, so do I.
I feel like I have the power. And it's like a
so
way of taking
freedom.
It back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, the flexibility and the freedom with this job is amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And, like, the power of choice that we have, especially at the place that we work. Like, we're very lucky that we work
so
in a
lucky.
Place where we get to choose pretty much everything that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good place to
And I started in a place that had really high rates, so, like, that was the first place I worked at, and I was, like, making bank.
Yeah.
And I've soon realised that wasn't a reality at all times of the year and all times, like, different places or whatever. And I was like, holy fuck, like, I just made my old monthly salary in a week.
Yeah.
And I was on, like, you know, 60K plus or something. I was like, fuck, like, what have I been doing this time?
Yeah.
Like, and then... I realized, oh, wow, it's really fluctuating. Like, I had the new girl rush or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
When you start, you definitely get that new girl rush of, like, oh, wow, I love this. Like, and then it,
like,
you get
making,
that, like, quiet couple of weeks after, and it's like,
and then you come back to reality and you're like, there's going to be shifts where I make no money.
Yeah,
I had it this week. Actually, last week I had 3 shifts where I didn't make money. And I just kept showing back up at work, and one of the girls made the comment, like, why do you keep coming back if you're not making money? And I was like...
Because I understand how the industry works.
Because this is the industry, and sometimes you don't make money, and sometimes you just have to keep pushing through. And, like, if there's anything I've learned, it's, like, sometimes you just... don't make the money, but then you'll come back in for one shift and you'll have a huge day that makes up for all the days where you didn't make money.
It's sort of difficult, like, getting into the mindset for work, because you don't know if it's going to be quiet or busy.
It's definitely like working a commission sales
job, like, for sure.
And I did that before I did sex work as well, like before I fully
it's still more motivating than having a salary, because you know what you're getting every month, and you know it's always just going to be average. Whereas with this, you're like, if I put in the extra effort and if I really fucking, like, hustle this, I work hard, like, I can make unlimited amounts.
And then...
It's uncapped earnings, which is huge.
Exactly.
And there's also, like, that other really empowering thing that comes with sex work that is, like, as females, we get to really, like, take back the power that we kind of in most other industries are, like, forced to live under and, like, kind of suffer under. Whereas, like, in our industry, we get to really, like, kind of... break out of that oppression and kind of get the best out of it.
Because we're sort of essentially we're taking the money from the man.
Yeah, and they hate that. They want to come in and be like, oh, I'm going to rescue you and get you like a job at this. I don't want saving.
Yeah, our industry is one of the only industries where there isn't a 16% like wage gap. But with that being said, like, we are so lucky to be working full service in a brothel. Like, for example, we're in Melbourne now, but I used to work in Adelaide, where sex work is fully criminalised. So full service you can't do, legally.
On the sly.
And it's, like, they can exploit you in kind of criminalised states, because, the parlours there get to choose what you choose for extra, like, what you charge for extra. Really? So there are girls that have to literally charge $20 extra for anal, which is, like, they don't get the say. Whereas here we have the legislation that protects us.
Yeah, just so we can make say price, how much we want to charge.
And it also, we have the legislation that protects us surrounding, like, you know, barrier protection. And, like, how we have to run our business. It's like, we have to... be tested, we have to be safe, we have to be using, like, you know, contraceptives and, like...
And I feel like that's maybe one of the differences between working in Melbourne and working in Sydney.
Yeah.
Is that there's more of an expectation to do, like,
services.
Bareback blowjobs, especially.
And, like, I think in the girlfriend experience, a lot of guys in decriminalised states... like, expect the full girlfriend experience, which means, like, no protection. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because obviously we all want a decriminalized state, but we don't want those ideas about how our service is suddenly going to change because it's decriminalized.
I do think it's really interesting, though, that, like, we have the lowest STI rate of any other group of people, and that people come to me and they'll come to, like, and say, like, I've been in the industry for 15 years and never gotten anything. Like, that's... crazy to so many people, but it shouldn't be, because civilians are out here, like, having one night stands, not even thinking twice.
I have a friend, and I won't name names, but he got chlamydia 3 times in 1 year. 3 times in 1 year.
Oh, no.
Boy was dealing with a breakup, but, like, 3 times in 1 year, come on. Come on, civvies, let's go get tested.
Literally. Like, it's funny, because, like, I think, like, when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend, like, January last year, like, a year and a bit ago, if that makes sense. And he was the only guy I'd ever slept with. So I only slept with probably a couple people before I started sex work. So really, I lost my virginity at 20.
Huge. Okay.
So, and he was my first until I was 22.
That's such a contrast, because for me, I've been, like, a slut since I was 14.
Same, except 16.
Like, we were, like, you know, doing it before we should have. Whereas, like, that's so interesting, because I think a lot of people assume that, like, sex workers are just, like, sex fiends as well. Like,
bitch, I'm on medication. What do you mean?
No, that's a good question, though. Have we ever had any run-ins through work with STDs? I know girls who have, but I personally haven't caught anything through work.
Not through work, but when I was with my ex-boyfriend, he gave me chlamydia.
Yeah,
because he was cheating on me.
Well, there you go.
That's the worst way to find out as well.
Then we had sex again and we gave each other chlamydia again.
Oh no.
Sorry, I've had it twice within 2 weeks, so that was a dumb moment.
I've had chlamydia before.
But I've never ever gotten anything from the brothel.
I remember working at a parlor and a girl contracted syphilis from a guy.
Yeah.
But they continued to work for the week.
Yeah, look, I understand that there's a survival aspect, but that's
I really think there needs to be
I think that it's quite lenient in Victoria. You do have to get because checked every 3 months.
Because your med certs don't say, she was all good.
Yeah, it says, you went for a check.
Yeah, and I think that's good because, it does protect people who might have herpes, for example, which really is an STI. It isn't an STI. HIV that's something that a lot of people have, and it's a skin condition for a lot of people. It's hard. It's a very hard topic.
Like when you get a cold sore or something.
I had my health check not yesterday, the day before, and I didn't have a vaporizer. I didn't faint.
Good.
It was good. It was great. Because the first time, the second time I ever got it, I passed out hard. And I was I'm so fucking sorry, but I couldn't see.
Was
yeah.
it the needle?
Yeah. And it's so funny because I'm so tattooed and have lip fillers and
I'm always super dramatic when they do the throat swab. I'm just be careful. I'm really sensitive. And I
she's like, this is my favorite.
And then I'm
you start gagging. And
they're like, do you have a deep throat? And I'm obviously really not.
The nurse is so funny. She's I love doing this. I'm a bit of a sadist. She's most mistresses, dominatrix, whatever, they were nurses. And I was really?
Actually, okay, you get a lot of nurses and what do you call them? Air hostesses?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Actually, yes. You get a lot of air hostesses. You get also...
I don't blame them. Those men on plans, I want to fuck them up too.
A lot of nannies. nannies.
Yeah.
And childcare, workers.
Childcare, just things that you would never expect.
I just feel I treat a lot of my clients like a child.
Yes. I feel like I'm babysitting a lot of... Yeah. In a lot of my
I had kids. That beautiful client last night and he was so lovely.
Oh, you got to have a conversation with a client about legislation.
Oh, yeah. That's so interesting.
He had autism. And he was adorable. He just laid on my chest and I just hugged, I was hugging him and he was just the sweetest. And I have cousins with autism, so it really kind of I get it. And it wasn't towards the end of the booking and he started talking about legislation, his friends who work for Scarlet Alliance and he started talking shit on SWERPs and
yeah,
I was
so
of course and naturally I was a bit shocked because I was how does he know this stuff? A client. You know?
You don't expect that. And I've had the conversations with older white men who have kind of opened the conversation with me during a booking and been I don't really understand what the issue is and they don't know what we're struggling with. And so I have sat down and educated men three times my age on what's going on in the industry and SESTA and FOSTA and all these bills happening all over the world and the Nordic model. And I find it really interesting that these people are kind of
intrigued.
They're literally these are white collar workers who are
they otherwise wouldn't give a
fuck.
These
are the executives of our community and they really don't know
they're
putting their money into sex workers and they're you know investing in us but they don't know what we're struggling with. They don't know. So when I do get a client who is actually willing to listen, it's really kind of empowering.
It is nice.
I really struggle with in bookings putting on a different
facade. A
horse owner? I don't have one. I'm just myself.
A sort of more socially acceptable or just more nice and friendly and cheery.
I'll definitely be more tolerable but I'll definitely still I call them out and I just say it how it is because especially boundaries I'm still struggling with because I'm new.
Boundaries are a hard one to learn.
It's taking me a while to feel comfortable enough because I feel I've still got this thing ingrained in me where I'm they paid for a service, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at maneuvering that. But when it comes to women's issues, sex worker rights and shit, I'm always just
We're very outspoken, I think.
And some clients will be intimidated by it and be like, I ain't seen that bitch again. She does too much ranting.
Yeah. I've definitely lost regulars by being a bit too, like, upfront about how I feel in bookings, and like realize I need to tone it back a bit. But I really struggled with that whole idea of like putting on a persona. Yeah. Like when I first started full service, the girls were kind of like, you have to like, you know, create a persona, like you get a bag and you know, like, you know, make it all up, and it's all different to
that's
you.
That's too hard for me, and I can't speak for like in the future, because I might be like, I imagine I'll be doing this for a fucking long time, but I can't speak for later on. But for now, like, I can't.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I wouldn't call it fake, but I would call it like protecting your identity and separating work life with
people. I think, you know, we're always told that like getting clients, the best way is to sort of be as genuine as possible.
Yeah.
Because they don't the fake shit.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to create a personality without seeming fake.
Yeah.
And like, I think my way of dealing with clients is like banter.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I do that too.
Same. Like having a giggle with them.
Yeah. Like if they do something or say something off, I'll be like, the fuck?
Yeah. I just like crack jokes.
Like, yeah. Like, I think a client last night was like, oh,
I'm still being myself, but they're
I'm
not
usually
gonna get mad at me.
On Tinder. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he's like, yeah. But I haven't been on it for a while. And I was like, yes, because now you're here.
I got banned. I got banned from two accounts.
Oh my God, you got banned from two.
Just because I was straight up and I was like, I'm a sex worker. If you don't like it, I'm literally not going to bother wasting anyone's time here.
Yeah,
I tried Tinder for a bit, but I think being a sex worker and trying to date as well.
Oh,
like,
waste time.
That's a whole thing.
It's
like so much explaining you shouldn't have to do in the first place. But
and
like,
then like, having to deal with people who say they're cool with it,
really,
and then later on they're like,
they have like a million questions, and then like the questions.
The annoying one for me that I always got is like,
is it safe?
So you're like polyamorous? You would be open? Like, you'd be okay with me sleeping with people? I'm like, but like for me, like, if you're not getting paid for it. Because, like, I don't even have sex outside of work.
Yeah.
I'm not even seeing anyone.
I haven't had sex outside of work all year.
Yeah. Like, I'm, like...
That's insane for me.
Yeah.
We get our fill.
Yeah. And...
Literally.
They kind of make this assumption that, like, if you were to have a relationship, that it would be, like...
Polyamorous,
open. They, like, I would be going to work making money as it being my job.
But, like, a lot of
and
the people
should...
that we work with are in...
Are open.
Monogamous as well. Like, there are a couple of girls that work the day shift, and they're in monogamous relationships, and their partners don't know what they do.
That's different,
I don't know. Yeah. Relationships is a whole nother ballpark when it comes to sex
fucking
work and, like, sex workers.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's so bad.
Especially... I would crave a monogamous relationship outside of work.
Yeah,
but
definitely. I'm
like,
insane.
I feel so...
But I'm
I feel
still
real,
not...
It's really hard for me to be like, oh... But we can be monogamous, and then they're like, well, but you're fucking heaps of other people at your
job.
It's
like, I'm not enjoying it. I don't have an emotional attachment to them.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't.
It's like manual
labor. I just don't trust other people that aren't sex workers.
I'm on autopilot.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's, but also it's problematic to be queer and dating other sex workers.
Yeah.
That's so problematic as well.
Really?
Yes. Like, when you have a bad relationship with another sex worker, like,
yeah,
because sex workers jump around.
Yeah.
You never know where they're gonna be. It's like you can't just go like, bro. Like if my ex girlfriend went back into sex work, I'd be worried.
I'd
be worried.
It'd cause a lot of like emotional shit.
Yeah,
like,
I've dated sex
work. I mean, I can also thank sex work for making me realize like I'm like bisexual or whatever.
Yeah.
How
I was always
sex work.
You do a double and you're like.
Wow. Oh, yeah, like, my first ever, like, booking was with Eden, and...
Oh, yeah, we did
really?
A double.
Like, I literally got there, and the day I started...
Oh, wait, so where
did
you guys meet, by the way?
Don't fucking
Instagram.
Online,
yeah.
Online, okay.
Best thing that ever happened for me, like, honestly. But, she's
I told
like,
her to come interview at my place.
She was with, like, I won't say the client, but...
Oh, he's the one who comes in regularly, the painter.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, like, my name at the time is Maya. She's like, is Maya here yet? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking nervous. Like, I haven't, like, done, like, a double in, like, months. Like, whenever, like, I'm like, oh my God. And, like, I hadn't properly even met you before.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. And then I was like, oh my God, she's cute. Like, I had, like, a little girl crush for a minute.
Yeah, doubles do that.
But then, like, couple booking, like, the first ever booking I did for the agency was a couple booking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you done couples before,
Kay? I've actually never had a couple booking.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've introed many, but yeah. they don't choose me for some reason.
Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Couple, I love them. They're, like, my favorite.
I've never been booked by a couple in a brothel, but I've been booked as private and escort, like, to couples. And I find it very, like, generally it's always... Well, more often than not, it's a woman's idea.
Yes. Which that's what I was surprised by. Which is
really fun because like, when it's the woman's wet dream, it's kind of like my first couple booking as an escort, I went and it was this couple who had just had a kid.
Yeah.
And they basically couldn't afford a babysitter and a prostitute. So they just booked the prostitute. And they had like the fucking baby monitor on the bedside table. Oh, the husband was just sitting in the corner vaping and drinking gin and juice. And the wife was just there like, get all
that. Yeah, like that couple.
It was amazing. And then like every couple minutes, the baby would cry and the husband would hop up and like, be like, you guys carry on.
Oh, because it was an outcall to their house,
it was like out to like, it was out in Brighton, like near the beach.
Oh my god.
I was like, okay. And like, the woman was older as well.
Yeah,
like, right. She was an older woman.
I love this dynamic.
Yes. I was so like impressed with this couple that came in and saw me twice. Aww. They moved to Sydney, but they came in and they were like, they were young and like she was hot. Like,
it's pretty
like,
rare in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were like really cool, and I was really like quite taken aback by how like dominant she was, and like I was like, this is fucking sick. Like I kept saying to them, they were probably in the moment, and I was just like, you're just yelling orders, bitch. You get it? Yeah. Like she was like, I want you to do like, I want you guys to do this. I want you to do that, and like he was just like, all right, like I loved it.
I will say that I've had like couple bookings where it was a man's idea.
Yeah, and you can tell they're a little uncomfortable. Wasn't
quite into it. Yeah. And that was really
that like, would be too hard for me.
I spent the entire. It was a 3-hour booking. I spent the entire booking basically like. In her ear being like, don't listen to him, like
if he, you want
like just what you're comfortable with, like I'm not gonna touch you if you don't want it, and she and she was just like, you have to do it, like I have to please him. Like it was
that the one who was being punished for cheating on her husband or something?
Was that it?
Yes. Oh, it was a horrible dynamic.
That's fucked.
So like couple bookings generally are really fun, especially when it's the female's idea, but like
and the female's always really like, all right, we're done. Like, even if there's time left, like, you know how if you're in a single booking with a guy, he'll just be, like, chatting shit or, like, still trying to touch you and, like, leech you. But then in the couple booking, she's like, all right, we're done. Get up. Get in the shower. Let's go. Because she knows that, we don't need to do that extra shit.
We don't need a dilly-dally.
Just get the fuck up. Like,
bye. We're not here to socialize. We don't want to trade, like, Instagram handles.
No. So that's really nice, I think. Like, they have an awareness about that, which is cool.
Have you guys ever had a client who wanted to be your sugar daddy?
Yes.
I mean, essentially, they're like, can I please be your boyfriend? I'll pay for everything. And I'm like, nah.
That doesn't sit well with me.
No.
I don't want someone to, like, give me an allowance.
Yeah.
No. Like, and also with sugar daddies, it's like they buy things for you already. It's like, I just want to have the money and then the freedom to choose what I
don't
buy.
Want you to buy me a Louis bag. Like, give me the cash for my fucking house deposit.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I also, do you get it where, like, guys will be, like, in bookings, like, so what are you studying and, like, really want to have this idea that you have a life outside of this? Like, this isn't your only thing.
But, or like, mainly that you're, you know, using this money to, like, supplement studying.
Yeah, or, like, having a wholesome life outside of this.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten to, because I'm not studying outside of work. I am just working. And I'm working towards my personal goals and whatnot. And I probably will go back to study at some point. I have studied in the past. But when I get guys coming in being like, so what are you studying? Because I am quite young. I'm 21.
They assume that you're just doing it to get through.
And when I say, like, I used to be very upfront. I'd be like, I'm not studying. And they'd be like, oh, so why are you doing this?
It's like, maybe.
Because I need a lift. Because it pays my bills. Or, like, when guys who are like, oh, you must really like this then. And it's like.
Well, this solicitor came into my old brothel and he was like, he kept extending. We were like there for a few hours and like, he was like a defense lawyer or something. He was like obviously pretty like, he had the monies or whatever. And he was like to me, yeah, I really want to have like an arrangement with you outside of the brothel.
Yeah.
Because it was his first time even in a brothel, allegedly. Never believe that, but... And he was like, yeah, I'll pay you $1,000 to take you to dinner at this Japanese restaurant. Right. In fucking wherever. But, so I got his number and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm like, fuck, bitch is going to eat some Japanese and get paid. Let's go. But, then he messaged me and was like, oh, I was thinking more $500. But then I thought about the booking and the time I spent with him. And I realized he made me feel shit.
Yeah.
He was digging on my, he was having a crack at my tattoos.
Yeah. Oh,
he was no. like, he was just... He was being really, like... He was making me feel shit about myself.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? No amount of money will ever, like, appeal to me that much for me to go and have dinner with someone who's just going to, like, rat on me the whole time. I was like, no. Yeah. I saw I messaged him. I was like, no, actually, I've changed my mind. I don't want your money.
Yeah.
You made me feel shit about myself.
Yeah.
I don't need your money.
It's really interesting how, like, blind some men are to their entitlement of, like, our presentation as well. Like... Especially when they book us and then they, like, feel like they have the right to comment on how we look.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, because I get it all the time being tattooed.
Yeah.
Is that I will get guys who will book me and...
What does that mean?
And, like, want to have basically a full conversation about my tattoos.
Yeah.
And they'll...
You're like, I charge extra for that,
I've gotten to the point... I've literally gotten to the point where I charge $25 extra for a tattoo tour. Because I get often. Well, that guys will be like, tell me what this means. And, like, I don't have meanings for my tattoos. No. I have a vagina tattooed on my thigh with teeth because I think pussies bite back.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
then, like, guys will be like, oh, what's that rose? And I'm like, no, that's a vulva.
That's a vulva.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, and now I have to charge extra for that because, like, they just feel entitled to, like, know everything about you for that.
Your entire body and the reasoning behind everything.
Yeah.
I'll just be like... Well, to be honest, I went and got that. I chose that on the day because I was like... And then I had a gap and I was like, I'm getting a fucking money sign. Like,
it can be really jarring to a lot of... Especially the older guys who, like, aren't quite used to...
They don't like tattoos.
Yeah.
I have, like, a tattoo of a wine bottle and a wine glass
on my... I love that. I saw that. That's cute.
It's really dangerous. I'm so lame in my booking sometimes. I'm like... They're like, oh, this is a tattoo. And I'm like, yeah, it's some red wine. Do you want some?
Eden, do you ever have someone ask you what your crybaby tattoo means?
Oh, all the time.
Because we both have crybaby tattoos, which is for Lil Peep.
Yeah.
And they're always like, oh, you're a crybaby. And I'm like...
Literally. And then you're like, okay, let me tell you about Lil Peep.
Yeah. I'd be like, he's my favourite artist and he passed away. Like
when they ask him, they'll either ask him about my crybaby tattoo or my pot plant tattoo. Yeah. And they never notice that my pot plant tattoo is little lips growing kisses. And they'll always like,
why do you have a pot plant tattoo? And I'm like, because I like pot.
And they're like... Like, what did you want me to say?
And they're out here with their bag of Coke. Like, that's so much worse.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. I know.
Yeah.
God.
I've actually, like, had clients who are full stoners. I love that.
Oh, same. I've had clients who are full stoners and can, like, get it up 3 times in half an hour booking. I was like, that's not... I'm like, are you... That's not... That's super
In intros, when they're like, can I come multiple times? I'm like...
Oh, God. Oh, God damn it.
We both know you won't.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just tell you yes. Because I'm going to drag out the first one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But it just means, like, you have to spend the whole rest of the time trying to get them up again.
Yeah. Yes. Annoying. Oh, my God. Yeah, no. I'm not
Coke cock is like... And they're like... When they have Coke cock, they come in and, like, they're... soft, hard, like 20 times in 50 seconds, and you're like, look, this but is not my problem. But they're constantly like, come on, it's your job, suck it, bitch, it's your job.
Yeah, like they'll be...
They're like, maybe if you just lick it a bit.
Yeah, they'd be like fully soft and be like, I start get now. Your mouth on it. It's like, to do what?
I get up and I'm like...
Massage your flaccid dick with my lips?
That's what I was doing yesterday.
It's like, and it's like, you put a condom on it and it's literally like...
You're just sucking
plastic.
It's
like having a baked bean in a plastic bag.
Oh, yeah,
And there's, like, all this air, like, in the middle of the gym.
Yeah, oh, God.
Like, I understand people will have issues with their getting, like, that's fucking fine. But if you have Coke cock, don't come to a brothel and expect a miracle from us.
Yeah.
Because
Oh, yeah.
It's self-inflicted, and it was more so when I was working at
the But to be honest, I like hooked up clients because I can get them to extend.
Yeah. Especially if you, like, do coke or pretend to do coke.
Yeah. We have a regular that we all kind of share at our place, and he just, like, he'll come in and, you know, book every girl, like, for half an hour or a walk-in, and, like, it's great. Everyone gets a booking, like...
Everyone gets a booking and a line, so that's, you know...
And it's not the best coke, but we don't have to do it. Like,
no, you don't have to do it.
It's just there as an option. Like, that's gross. Like,
I've only done it twice with clients, and the first time was a really bad experience for me because I have a really heightened psychic ability sometimes. And on this particular occasion, I didn't know that coke opened the third eye a lot, but basically I was with him in the booking, and I did, like, a line, like, a pretty big one, and I hadn't done it in so long, so I forgot, like, what it was like, and I started to get, like, jittery and anxious, because I don't do stimulants.
That's
like,
crazy, yeah.
And, we were kissing or whatever, and I literally started having, like, what I used to have as a child. I'd have, like, visions, like little flashes of
imagery. That's so Raven, like... Mm.
Yeah, it's so, like, it's just, like, and I saw his mum cooking in the kitchen.
Oh.
I saw his car. And I saw his dog breed and color and everything. And I described it all to him. And I was like, is this what everyone looks like? Because I need validation for my abilities.
Yeah.
Like. And he was like, yes, you're freaking me the fuck out.
What?
You're freaking that's me the fuck out. Like, that's what my mum looks like. Because she had, like, curly, like blonde hair. Like,
yeah.
So and,
like,
weird.
She was cooking, like, pasta or something. And it turned out he was Italian. I was like, argh! I'm crazy.
I will say, though, I find that in the brothel there's not as much drugs as I would have expected. Because, like, when I was stripping...
Yeah, they're mainly in Gotham.
Yeah. There are, like, brothels known for
Gotham's
it.
Gotham's, like, a fucking crack brothel, though.
Yeah.
Like, when I say crack, I mean methamphetamine, though.
Yeah, that's
because they
mean.
Sell it there.
To clarify.
Yeah.
No, but, like, during stripping, I was exposed to a lot of drugs. Like, in the strip club.
Yeah.
It wasn't just coke.
Dreams!
Like, I remember my first year of stripping, it was in little old Adelaide where you don't find ketamine.
Yeah, okay.
And I found, me and my girlfriend were baby strippers, and it was during Clipsal, which is this car race. It's kind of like Grand Prix in Melbourne. It goes crazy. All the men come in from interstate. It's, you know, a big time. And I found a tea bag, sized J bag, just packed with white powder. And I was like, this is coke. I was like, I've won the jackpot. This is coke.
It drives me crazy.
So,
like,
me
can't.
And my baby friend, like, baby stripper friend, go into the bathroom, like, nail huge lines of what
we thought was coke.
It was fucking ketamine.
We were both booked on for a stage, and
we were like, we'll go do lines first.
We get, like,
neither of us have ever done ketamine before. We're like, this is kind of weird. We get on stage, and suddenly, like, my legs give out, and I just, like, slide.
I just
grip to the pole and, like, slide down to the floor, and I'm like, I guess I'm doing floor work then. And I just, like, start rolling around, and, like, poor Ari is, like, on the other pole, like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, with a little, like, weak giraffe and her pleasers, like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
oh my god, that's getting worse.
Yeah, I've been, like, I found coke in the strip club, I've found meth in the strip club, I found heroin in the strip club.
Because it's more like club.
Yes, it is.
Brothel
it's more
is
of a
like,
club. Yeah, where brothels.
It's less. It's not really.
It's
I
not
had
a party
one client
environment.
Smoking like a pipe in our booking and like mess. And
we
I
get
was
that.
Really, I was like, I really don't want you doing this because my ex boyfriend, like.
Yeah, it can be triggering.
Yeah, it was triggering. I was like, and he's like, please just put the aircon on. And I'm like, no, it's not about the smell because
the
I can't smell
stop.
Anything.
Like, cause the
do you get like, do you get secondhand like,
yes,
effects?
Yeah, and it gets in the walls. It like ruins the
it
fucking
smells.
Architecture. Like,
yeah.
And it was a big, nice, like old heritage building.
We've
too.
Had, we at the place that we work at now, I have been asked to go into a booking with a guy who is smoking the pip, and I couldn't do it because personally, like, I'm
the
fine with most drugs, but just that one person.
I don't, I don't like meth or ice or anything. A client was like, are you okay if I smoke pip? Puff. And I was like, oh, weed. No, yeah, that's fine. And then I go, and then our manager is like, nah, that's meth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, send him out.
Yes,
send him on his way.
When I was new to full service, puff and play is a huge thing in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Puff and play. And I always thought, yeah, puff and play, let's smoke a bong.
it was the
like,
guy
weed?
That came to the broth, and he was the one who used to do it. And then I was like trying to hustle a double with him. I think it was that guy. I'm so glad he didn't though, because
for the most part though, we're all sober at work, like we're there to like do our job, so like
we have backup valves or something.
If you do want to come, literally, but if you do want to come and like have a party, please let your like the provider that you're booking know, like be upfront about what drugs you're gonna do, because most of us are very open-minded. Like there is a lot of stigma around drugs and sex work, but like most of us are very open-minded. A lot of us are fine to be in the room with you doing it, as long as you're upfront about it.
And contrary to popular belief, hookers are not like all addicted to drugs.
No,
like
no,
I was addicted to drugs in a civilian job.
Yeah.
And like also like just the fact that like this idea that like sex workers are addicts, it's like, bro, I know people who work for government who smoke shard.
Do you know in the corporate world, right, like when I was working as a PA, all my fucking managers were racking lines at
speed
work
central,
at the Christmas party, speed, coke, like all the big shit.
When I was working in sales, it's all speed and stuff. So like I've like working in the brothel, I've actually had the best time like getting sober and like
literally,
you know, not having to interact with that stuff.
Yeah,
it's really
yeah.
interesting, because I think like a lot of people do have this misconception about like even just strippers, like
you know we're all doing like lines of coke and stuff, but like it actually, like it's better for us if we have a clear head.
100% so, most strippers don't even drink on the job. So like and like in the brothel especially, like we don't have a liquor license, none of us are drinking, like
you will get fired if you're drinking.
Yeah, it's a strict like no drugs kind of environment. I think like that's
if I was doing Xanax at work, like
people would know.
Yeah, people would know, first of all, and also I wouldn't get booked. And if I did get booked, I would be a shit cunt in the booking. I'd probably like lose all boundaries.
Because
I would not give a fuck about what was happening to me, because I'd just be so like, bleh.
And
that's not safe.
Just to be clear, like we're not anti-drugs. Like we all partake. Especially in my private life, I, you know, will dive down the
There's a time and a
drug.
Place and like, the broth is not yet.
Yeah, but at work,
this is not... I don't like doing... I mean, I...
But some people
do. I've turned up to work stoned before or drunk.
Definitely.
Like, that's it. But
yeah.
I don't like...
Yeah, and you
like.
Don't
the
keep
shit.
It up while you're at work as well. Like, I'll never bring a joint to work or
anything
like that. And, like...
Unless you want to see me have a panic attack.
Like, the most I'm bringing to work is, like, a bag of crystals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're, like, out here with our candles and crystals, like...
Yeah.
Crystal mess,
this brothel is really getting, like, crystalled up.
Our brothel is definitely getting a bit witchy.
Well, it's already there.
Yeah. We've got, every brothel has a ghost story.
Everyone's, like, shouting me out on Sunday night, like, Trinity bought in this green money candle and lit it, and then all these fucking people came in.
Yeah.
Like,
you saw her on High Street,
That's, like...
Trinity's like, I hope this guy books you, Kate, and then he did.
Because I didn't want him. It was
He was an annoying.
And
then
I got the one
fine.
Who I didn't have to have sex with.
Yeah.
He extended.
Yeah.
Well, fucking money candle.
That was,
All right. I feel like we should at least mention what our favorite kind of clients are like, so everyone knows.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Maybe our last note will be our favorite clients.
Yeah, I think we'll end up on our favorite clients.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So for me personally, my favorite clients are the older men.
Yeah.
Who just think that like. I'm this exotic little, like, fuck thing. Like, this exotic little nymphomaniac. Because then I get into the room and get to just be, like, calm and chill and, like, completely, like, ruin that idea for them. I really like that. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, when guys, like, older guys book you because they think you're going to be a young little nympho, and then you get in there and you're actually, like, having conversations with them. That's my favorite kind of client.
Yeah.
Okay, for me,
Or the pump and dump.
Nah, go for it.
Pump and dump.
Or the pump and dump.
The 20-minute deluxe
we
pump and dump.
We all love a 20-minute deluxe pump and dump.
Yeah, like...
Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am.
You don't even want to, like, look at me afterwards. You just want to leave.
Yeah. Love it.
Either the old men who I can educate or the pump and dumps.
Okay.
All right, Trinity?
Well, mine's anyone as long as they, like, respect my boundaries. But for me, I think lately it's become really a huge thing for me that... Yes, I mean, I prefer the girlfriend experience, but I like clients who don't want to kiss me, don't want to get super sensual and, like, leechy and, like they know they're here for the act, they're just here to get theirs and leave.
Yeah.
Because I really would like to reserve, kissing and, like, more intimate shit for my personal life in some miracle world where I get one.
Yeah.
Because it's really personal.
Yeah.
It's really personal.
Yeah, like, I've started hating kissing even in my personal life because I just...
You start to associate.
Yeah. Which is bad because, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you still want to feel like you'll be able to have a connection with someone. You want that romance.
Yeah. It's like,
whatever.
Okay, well, my favourite client actually came in the other night.
Really?
It's a very specific type of client.
Oh, bless.
It's Mr. Chiropractor, and he comes.
Oh, did he crack?
Yes,
cracks my back, cracks my neck, gives me like the best massage.
Kate, hook me up.
Does a little bit of fucking, and then he's out. Yeah, you know?
I actually have a client like that. He's this like white dude who like definitely shouldn't be going to brothels.
Yeah,
and he just like comes in and like he'll be like, you know, he gets the deed done, and at the end of it, he'll shower and get dressed and then massage me.
Yes. Oh, love it.
Yes. Oh. And then like he'll leave me to clean the room up.
Like, I had a few of those when I was stripping, and like they'd be like, "I'm not here to like for you to give me a lap dance. I'm just here to massage."
Oh yeah.
Like they feel sorry for you in a sense, so I'm like,
yeah,
that's sad. Your pity.
But I'll take it.
I will take a massage.
Yeah. Yes. No, those are our favourite clients. So if you guys are any of those kind of clients...
Come through.
Yeah. Book me.
Hit us up. Mm. Book a triple.
Book a triple.
Kate, literally. Trinity, and Eden.
Yeah.
I mean, walk-ins are more like... DM us.
Slide in.
It'll be like the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But, like, all of us can't give deep throat. No, I'm kidding. I can't.
Oh, you're kidding? I was like,
yeah, I thought you can.
No, I'm
kidding.
I definitely can. I have no gag reflex.
Okay.
But it's, yeah.
Oh, no, I definitely don't have a gag reflex anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's because my
ex-sister. Oh, no. But, like, also, I'm going to add my least favorite client.
Okay, add it in.
The ones that come in an intro and go, "Can you deep throat how many inches?"
But, like how many inches
do you think I deep throat a fucking, ruler before I come into the intro? Like, you think I'm measuring, like, oh, yeah, five inches and 7.5?
Yeah.
Okay, these are how many inches I can deep throat.
Like, when I'm wanting to do, like, a really lazy, like, blowjob, I'm always just, like, focusing on the tip.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. If I'm just like, fuck this cunt, he's book standard, I'm just like...
No gagging for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just poke the tongue out.
Yeah.
Up and down the little line.
Yeah. The little line.
Bit of dirty talk to get me through.
Yeah. And you go, yeah. And then you're like, oh, you know, after 5 seconds, you're like, oh, let's fuck now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's been 10 seconds.
That's
like,
the foreplay.
My jaw hurts.
That's my mouth done.
Yeah. This is an hour booking, but here we go.
Yeah.
Like, 2 minutes of foreplay.
Yeah.
Because I really just want to talk shit with you for the rest. I'm not sure what's more painful sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Fantastic.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to say?
I just want to say I'm really grateful that we have this platform, and I'm really grateful that in 2019 we can be kind of out as workers and, you know, kind of be able to use our voice. I'm really grateful for that. So thank you if you're listening and kind of being an ally and letting us have our voice. That's just what I want to end on. Thank you.
Good note to end on. All right.
Fucking thanks, Kate. Thanks,
hustlers.
Thanks, bruv.
Thank listening you, hustlers. In. Woo!
Link to my Patreon. Please give me money.
Yeah. Bye.